Good morning to you all. It's nice to be here once again. I have been here to Slough Baptist probably a couple of years ago. Some of you may not know me, or probably most of you may not know me. Well, my name is Gideon Rubin. I'm also the minister at Britwell Baptist Church. Paul knows me quite well, and Paul has been ministering at our church. This week actually completes 58 years since Britwell Baptist Church started. And coincidentally, it seems like the same date on which the church foundation was laid was the date on which I was born. The same year, incidentally, so I'm as old as the church. But God has been so faithful, and I also know that, you know, Slough Baptist Church has been a mother church to our church when it started off in its foundational stages. It started as a small thatched hut there, which got burned down, and then the church was built, and we thank God for the prayers of people, because I don't know, 58 years ago when they bought the land, it probably costed only £300. But today the value of it is so much more, isn't it? But God has been faithful through the prayers of the people who've been there over the years, and for the prayers of this church. Some of you may have not known, but you have been contributing a lot, and we thank God for Slough Baptist Church. And I pray that God will continue to increase this church and bring out many more missionaries from this church. The young people who are going, we just pray that God is going to continue to bless them. I'm so privileged. I'm here with my wife, Sunita, here today. Just a little bit about my family. We've got two daughters. The elder one is 28. She's got married, moved to California. We are expecting our first grandchild next month. So we are excited about it. So continue to pray. Our younger daughter is with us. She's working for Christian Concern in London, and also is into ministry. She's doing actually things on Christian ethics and law, and works along with Bishop Michael Nazir Ali, who's one of the bishops in the House of Lords as well. So she brings us lots of information of what's happening. But I think prayer is such a very, very important time for us to be in as a church, especially for our nation and the world around, the way things are happening. You know, we need to raise up in prayer, and the subject that we are talking about, relying on God, because I think we are in a time, not only for our nation, but for the worldwide situation and the issues, we really need to rely on God. And I can tell you one thing, God is dependable. How many of you believe God is dependable? And I'm talking about our God. Because there are so many gods, but you need to know who the God is that you can trust in. And I'm talking about the God of Abraham, of God of Isaac, the God of David, the God of, you know, Jacob, and the God that we can put our faith in. And he's revealed himself in the name Jesus Christ. And if you put our faith in him, I can tell you, great things happen. That's why, you know, Jesus said, when you ask anything in my name, it shall be given. And we need to believe that, and we need to trust that. So prayer is essential. A little boy actually called a pastor of a local church, and he said, could you come and pray for my mother? You know, she's not too well. She's ill with the flu. And the pastor knew the family and was aware that they were attending another church down the same road. So the pastor asked, shouldn't you be asking Brother Simon down the road to come and pray for your mom? And the young boy replied, yeah, but we didn't want to take the chance that he might catch whatever that is there with mom has. Very sensitive for his own pastor. We got to be sensitive about, you know, what God wants. God is not selfish in any way. He's here to actually answer our prayers. The portion that was read this morning was on two accounts, isn't it? One was David's prayer in Psalm 5. And you see, David was a man whom the Bible says was after God's own heart. But God raised up David from being a shepherd boy who was a nobody even in the sight of his brothers or his parents. And in his prayer in this verse, in the last verse of verse 3, he says, each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. David is not expecting the answer to happen immediately, but he is expecting to receive his answers. So the Bible says that when we pray, we need to be expectant. In fact, in the book of James, he says, if anybody asks anything and is double-minded, he should not even expect anything to happen. And I just read that in James chapter 1, verse 6. It says, but if you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So what the scripture is teaching us, that when we ask, we need to rely on God, expecting him to answer. Now I'm sure all of us have prayer requests, don't we? And we'll constantly be having. And we raise certain prayer requests, and there are some life challenging situations that we will come across where we feel we need to now begin to rely on God. Now, how much do we need to rely on God? Is it only in small things or big things? Or, you know, can we separate the secular from the spiritual? No. In fact, God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. However small it may seem, but it is essential for us to connect with God. So in this passage, as David is actually expecting God to give answers, Jesus is actually recounting the same thing and speaking to people about how your prayers can be answered and how can you get what I'm promising you. And Jesus is saying in this passage, keep on asking and it shall be given. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door shall be opened unto you. And the second part of the passage talks about us parents who have children, how we know to do good things for our children. And in this scripture he says, you being sinful people, in some places he says wicked people, know how to do good things, how much more will our Heavenly Father do for his children? Now we need to understand, God is good. And he's good all the time. Now in every situation, bad or good, God is working out his purpose in each one's life. It was lovely to see so many children here this morning, isn't it? And thank you for that frog thing and the mnemonic of reminding us that we can rely on God. You see, Jillian and me have been trying to communicate, and she would leave a message, then I'll leave a message, and we were up and down till we finally got through. We celebrated it on the phone, saying, oh, finally we got through. But you see, God is there to hear our prayers, and he says, anyone who calls on me, I will answer. Is that your experience this morning? Sometimes it doesn't seem like God is answering, isn't it? Sometimes it feels, no, I do not know. I'm not sure, Pastor. I've been asking about certain things. But we're just going to meditate on this passage, the first part, talking about the three words, simple words, ask, seek, and knock. Will you remember these three words? I know we all remember it, but remember these three words. And these three words are basically like three hinges on a door. There are three hinges on a door. And you got to get these three hinges to make the door to open for you. That's why he says, keep on knocking, and what will happen? The door will be opened. So, these three hinges Jesus is talking about, and we just focus quickly upon the first part of it, which is asking. So when we ask, what happens is we express a desire to God. When we ask, what happens? We express a desire to God. So asking is expressing a desire. A child comes and asks the mom, like this little girl asks, isn't it? What was she asking for?
Pink unicorn.
Pink unicorn. So she's asked. And Jillian looked to his mother, that's the request. So we go to God like parents, like children asking him. So when we ask, we are making a request. That doesn't straightway mean we're going to receive it. Why? Because God knows certain things that we ask are not good for us. Is that true? If a little child of mine comes to me, who's about 3 years or 5 years old, comes to the kitchen, I'm cutting onions with my wife and helping out, and says, Dad, can I have the knife for a moment? I just want to play with it. Would I give it? No. So we know what is good for our children. So is our Heavenly Father. And Jesus also tells us to ask. In fact, in Luke 18:1, he says, men ought to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't stop. If you ask God for something he hasn't answered, don't stop. Similarly, in Mark 14:38, he says, He instructed his disciples. He says, watch and pray lest ye fall into temptation. So the real crux of the whole thing is that there is no substitute for prayer if we are Christians who are walking with God and expecting Him to answer when we are totally relying on Him. There is no substitute. It's no amount of your enthusiasm or your intellect or your energy or your ingenuity or whatever you're trying to create or make happen is going to work unless you trust God and rely on Him, because there are things that we all will come across in our life where we need to totally rely on God 100%. And I'm telling you, God is going to bring us to those corners in our life where we have to totally rely on Him to experience His goodness. So God is not a bad God. But yet, we see Jesus saying, ask and you shall receive. Does that mean God does not know what I am asking for? And the answer to that is, God knows. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about it. In verse 7, he says, when you pray, don't babble on, as other people do, and they think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. Why? He says, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Our Father knows exactly what you and I need even before you ask Him. How many of you believe this statement is true? Do you think God knows even before we ask? So why do we have to pray? Why do I have to ask God? Sometimes we pray because we want to impress God. Lord, I am good. Don't you know who I am? You know, I can pray well. I do this, I do that. We try to impress God. God is not impressed by us. He knows everything about us. Sometimes we pray to inform God about something. Lord, you do not know what's happening in my life. Don't you know the situation that I am in? But God knows. You don't have to inform Him. So what do we do through prayer is to invite God. When we are asking God, we are inviting Him into our situation. Is anybody there with me this morning? Yes. We need to invite God. That's the reason we ask Him. Lord, I'm asking for you for something, and I'm inviting Him into this thing. So when we ask, there are three things that happen. One is we fellowship with God. We fellowship with God through invitation. So we ask, we invite Him. So if I need to get to know someone from here in this church, I would try to invite you and say, come to my home. We'll have lunch. We'll have some tea together. We'll sit together. We talk. And that's how we get to know each other. It's called fellowshipping. So we fellowship with God. We get to know who God is. The second reason when we ask is we grow. We grow in our spiritual walk with God, because as we ask, we begin to see God shaping us in the way we begin to perceive who He is and what is good and pleasing to Him in line with His word. The third thing is God wants us to depend upon Him. He wants us to lean on Him. We sang the song, leaning on the everlasting arms. We can lean on Him when we are weak. You know, there was Paul who was praying. He says, I prayed for this, you know, thorn in my flesh that God would remove it. He says, I prayed 3 times and God said, no. But God gave him something else. He says, my grace will be sufficient for you, and my strength will be made perfect in your weak moments. How many of you have felt weak in your lives at some times? I have felt weak so many times. I feel I'm so helpless. In fact, we are going through some situations in our lives where we will come through crossroads. I've been through crossroads a number of times, and I do not know what way I need to take. So really, through prayer, I am developing and I'm growing and I'm also depending on God. So we may ask this question, Pastor, but I've asked, but God hasn't answered yet. We got to wait, because Jesus didn't stop with that statement in asking. What did He tell us to do? The next step is to seek. So let's move on to seeking. So what does it mean to seek on God? We seek God by asking Him not only for the things that we want and we ask, but we are seeking for direction. We are seeking for what? Direction. So when word says seek, it says direction is being explored. When you're asking, what happens? Your desire is being expressed. When you're seeking, direction is being explored. So I've asked, Lord, what direction are you guiding me now is what I need to really be seeking after. So through prayer, as I'm seeking, there are three things that I can seek God for. The first thing is, what is God's will and purpose for me concerning this situation? It's not me trying to mold God's will to my will, but to find out what God's purpose is concerning the prayer that I'm making. The second thing is to seek His presence. I want to get to know God. God is not someone like a genie and I say something and He has to come and do it for me. No, I seek His presence. I need to spend time with Him. I get to know who God is. And the third thing is to understand and to experience the power of God in our life. James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I need to experience the power of God in me. There are areas that need to be healed before God can answer, because God is making me grow. He's making me understand Him. He's making me fellowship, and He's going to give me His power. Now, the greatest tragedy for us as Christians is not unanswered prayers, but unoffered prayers. Not unanswered prayers, but unoffered prayers. You may say, what does that mean? It basically means this. God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life and not run to Him only when you are in a desperate situation. It also means that there are things that God has already prepared for you. He says, eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. So God has already having something good planned out for you and me, but since we have never asked Him for it, we have never received. So in James chapter 4, James is saying that, you know, he's saying, what is causing problems of quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have and you scheme to kill to get it. You are jealous for what others have and you can't possess it. So you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have is what you want is that you do not ask God for it. We are moved by our own selfish desires. We want this, we want that, we want that. And he says, there are certain things that you are asking which are out of selfish desires. But God wants to give us what He has already planned and prepared for us. And when we ask Him, He's going to give it to you. Hallelujah. Is anybody excited this morning? I pray, you know, that your prayer life is going to be transformed when you work on these three hinges. Asking, seeking, and the third thing we need to do is to be knocking. Now, I have been praying, Lord, I have been seeking, but why do I have to knock? He says, these three words are actually words which are in the present tense. It's not in the past tense, it's not in the future tense, it's in the present tense in the Greek language. So asking, seeking, and knocking. So he says, keep on asking, and it shall be given. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking. It's present tense. Keep on at it. So it's basically, when I knock, it is determination is being exerted. When I knock, I am determined. And I'm going to exert that determination by continuing to knock. Now Jesus gives an illustration about determination to knock. And he actually takes up a passage which we read in Luke chapter 11, which is from verse 5 to 10. And I'm not going to read the passage, but the story goes this way. And this is actually in the times when Jesus was there. In those days, people would actually go to their neighbors at odd times and knock at their doors and ask for things. And in this illustration, he's talking about a person who's actually being very hospitable to a person who comes to him at midnight. How many of you would like to open your doors at midnight if somebody knocks? None of us would like to. But this is what he's talking about. Keep on knocking is persistence. Now here comes a guest to this person's house at midnight. He opens his door and he doesn't know him. He's a stranger. But in those days, people invited strangers without having to worry about who they were and what they were and all that. But that was hospitality. And they would come and say, please be comfortable. Come and sit down. And he says, did you have something to eat? And this is midnight now. This is not dinner time. You come late, sorry, I'm going to go to bed. No food for you. No, they were very hospitable. He says, I'm going to get you some food to eat. And he goes to his wife in the kitchen. He says, what is there? And she says, there's nothing there. There's nothing in the home. He says, don't worry, don't worry. We'll sort it out. Tells the guest, don't worry, I'm going to get you something to eat. Goes down to the next door, begins to knock at the door. Bang, 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 bang. Who's there at the door? There his neighbor is. He says, can you stop knocking? It's too late. It's too late in the night. My children are in bed. My dog is asleep. Come on, don't wake up the whole crowd now. Can you please go away? No. I have got a guest at home. I need 3 loaves of bread. Can you please give it to me? No, please go away. Don't wake up the house. Bang, 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 bang. Finally, he gets up. He says, can you please stop? I'll give you the bread. Just stop. That's what it's about knocking. Knocking is determination being expressed. How determined are you to receive the answer that you're seeking from God, that you ask God for? So God wants to answer our prayers. So how does God answer our prayers? There are 3 ways God answers our prayers, or nearly 4 ways actually. First way he answers is direct. You ask for him something, you don't have to go through all these 3 processes of seeking and knocking. It comes immediately. Have you experienced it that way? Some of us have, in certain situations. Sometimes God doesn't answer immediately. He does it a bit differently. He gives something that we need and we have asked for, but not in the same way. In fact, when you receive it, you say, Lord, but I didn't ask for this. And God says, look at what I have given to you. And then you see, my God, this is much more better than what I asked for. In my own life, you know, I worked for the council for 15 years. And we had a restructure recently. And I was praying, Lord, I need to stay in this job. I need the money. I need the money. How many of you need money in your houses? I think one of the prayer requests of the mission people was what? Please support us with the money. We all need money, but money is not our God. Is that true? Our God is able to supply every need. He says, according to his riches and glory. He is able to supply. So for my prayer was, Lord, I need this job, but I do not know. If I take this job on, it's going to be too much of stress. I don't think I'll have time to even do what I'm doing, because I was doing part-time ministry in the church. And as I prayed and I sought God, I said, Lord, please, please make it happen. I went for the interview, prepared myself, did well. And ultimately, I came out excited from the interview room thinking, oh, the job is mine, the job is mine. And I get to know it's not mine. And when I got to know, I was disappointed for a moment. But later on, I started getting, you know, these letters from HR. You're going to get this much money. You're getting so much in gratuity. I said, oh, is this all available to me? Yes, you're going to get pension because you're over 55. You see, God's way of doing things are totally different from our way of doing things. And God knows what I need even before I ask him. In other words, he's totally reliable. He's totally reliable. How much prayer is too much prayer? Johnny was a 5-year-old boy. He asked his dad, he says, Daddy, I'd like to have a baby brother. Can I have a baby brother? His dad was 35-year-old. He says, he paused for a moment. He replied, I'll tell you what, Johnny. If you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee you that God will give you one. Johnny responded eagerly to his dad's challenge and went to his bedroom early that night to start praying for a baby brother. He prayed every night for a whole month. But after that time, he began to get skeptical. How many of us get skeptical? But here Johnny is. He's just 5-year-old. He's also getting skeptical. He's checked around the neighborhood and found out that what he thought was going to happen had never occurred in the history of the neighborhood. You just don't pray for 2 months and then whammo, a new baby brother. It doesn't happen, Johnny. So what did Johnny do? He stopped quitting. He quit praying. After another month, Johnny's mother went to the hospital. When she came back home, Johnny's parents called him into the bedroom. He cautiously walked into the room, not expecting to find anything. And there was a little bundle lying next to his mother. His dad pulled back the blanket and there was not one baby brother, but two. His mother had twins. Johnny's dad looked down at him and said, "Aren't you glad you prayed, Johnny?" Johnny hesitated a little and looked up to his dad and said, "Yes, but aren't you glad I quit when I did?" Our God is a good God. He knows how to bless us. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking till God answers prayers. I leave you with one more verse. Matthew 18:19 says, "Where two of you shall agree on earth, touching anything that you shall ask, I'm going to do it in heaven." In other words, there is power in agreement. If you have a deep need, share it with somebody who's going to agree with you and pray. And where there is agreement, God's Spirit begins to work. As a church, we can be agreed. There are so many needs. There are so many people who may be in ill health. Paul and his wife Lorraine needs help. God's going to answer prayers. You know, you've been ministering. God is going to answer prayers. There are so many others here who have needs. And we have to reach out to a desperate community which needs God. And if we haven't experienced God's goodness and reliability, how can we share what we haven't experienced? I pray that God is going to help you to experience Him in a special and a fresh way. May God bless you this morning, and may He lead you and guide you. Thank you once again for giving me this privilege. As part of churches together here in Slough, we have this pulpit exchange. So Andy is speaking at our church today. I'm sure he's going to be excited of meeting people there. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for the warm welcome, Gillian, and for all the people there at the reception, and for each one of you. May God continue to bless you. Myself and my wife will have to rush away because we have something at the church, but I'd love to say hellos to as many people as I can. So if you have an opportunity, want to come and say hello to me, you're more than welcome. God bless you anyway, till we see you again. Thank you.
Come again soon.
Thank you.
That's good getting a clap, isn't it?
Thank you.
I don't get a clap.